is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Friday, we're live in Naperville. It's the Allstate Hometown Voices Tour. We'll be live at Egg Harbor Cafe in downtown Naperville. It will be full to capacity, parking a little tight there, so come early if you can. But we look forward to seeing you, and we'll do the show from the Egg Harbor Cafe with the Allstate Hometown Voices Tour. Then Monday and Tuesday, we're live in Iowa for the caucuses. You doing another caucus raucous today?
I am doing another caucus raucous
today. What
are
you explaining to us today?
We will explain, well, a little bit about Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley and what it means to complete the full Grassley. There's a direct implication on the caucuses.
The full Grassley coming up here in just about 10 minutes now. Overnight, I would say your three big stories are Trump threatening to skip the Fox debate tomorrow night. I still think he'll show up because he's Trump and he can't stand not being the center of attention. And, oh, and by the way, he's a coward. Rio, you realize that if the Olympic bid had gone the other way, we'd be just Olympics wall-to-wall right
mm-hmm.
now?
Yep, they're going to start first week of August in
New
Rio.
New stadiums going up all over the place. Imagine the traffic problem we would have had. Holy mackerel.
Man. Oh, it would have been awesome.
Mary would have quit by now.
I love the Olympics, though.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
I'm so excited for
Do you remember the bet I made when we lost the Olympics?
No.
I made a bet on the air that I said if we don't get the Olympics, that I will synchronize swim in a kiddie pool on Michigan Avenue. And I did.
I don't remember. Oh, I do remember that. There's pictures of that. Yeah.
There's video of that.
Didn't you have floaties on, too?
I did have floaties on. Yeah. I'm not a strong swimmer.
Nice kick line, though, you had.
I did have a good kick line. The water was as much as 6 and 7 inches deep in spots.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. 6 inches.
Yeah. Patty Vasquez was a spotter for me.
Good thing
just
she
to
was
see
there.
If I'd, yeah, lifeguard.
Good
yeah.
thing she was,
She was a lifeguard on North Avenue Beach, I think?
She was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a very fun gig. If you have never been to an Olympics, you should go at some point. They're awesome.
Listen, I told you, I almost died in a kiddie pool. So we don't have the Olympics. They do. But in the meantime, all over Rio de Janeiro, one of the world's more troubled cities, there are people in hazmat suit. It looks like the last scene from E.T. There's people running around Rio spraying for the Zika virus. This is something that Dr. Most brought up just about, 10 days ago, which is a world health hazard. Mm-hmm. And the Zika virus is threatening to become a major, major problem in Rio with Carnival scheduled to open. And what happens at Carnival? People run around naked.
Carnival's like their Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
I have a friend who goes
steroids
every year, and it's crazy.
And people run around naked or semi-naked. And I'm not against that, obviously. But as they run around, one of the ways the Zika virus is spread is by mosquitoes, mosquito bites. Well, you got a lot of skin to hit there if you're a mosquito. If you're a mosquito, it's like an old country buffet.
That's probably a good way to put it.
So here's the problem that you have. You got the Zika virus in a city that's trying to prepare for the Olympics that they're not ready for, with contaminated water in the bay, with crime still to be a major problem, and Rio is losing its mind trying to get its act together. So,
all of which I think people foresaw.
Absolutely.
Oh, let's buy a ticket and go.
I mean, what was it, 2009, 2008, 2009, that bid finally came down?
Beijing?
Something like that. No, Rio
oh,
versus
Rio,
Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Chicago wasn't even in the running. We came in last.
We're the first team, first city eliminated.
First out
That's
of.
That's what I meant, yeah.
Well, we were final four, right? Wasn't it final four? I don't know.
Four out of four. That's
Devontis was involved in that whole thing. Anna Devontis, she was
the reason we didn't get the Olympics?
I don't know if that's the case. But she was. She closely viewed the process, including being around that committee for a good period of time.
Boy, I wish we would have had the Olympics. It would have been awesome for this city.
It would have been cool. Yeah, definitely would have been cool. And it certainly would have been better than what's going on in Rio.
Initially in Rio, they thought all they had to worry about was gangs, you know, and the mass shootings. Now, well, they got a lot more on their plate. Dirty water.
This goes to the IOC being bribed for everything. You know, I mean, look, we didn't. Can you imagine in Chicago we didn't bribe somebody enough? I mean, we are losing our touch. Sad. In less than an hour, Alex Stone will join me from ABC News to talk about what happened in Oregon last night. The standoff of the counter-revolutionaries that have been holding a wildlife refuge hostage for the last month or so has ended in a very bad way. One person dead, eight have been successfully arrested. There was to be a speaking engagement nearby where Amon Bundy, the alleged leader of this band of knuckleheads, was to speak. And somewhere along the way of making it to that speaking engagement, 60 or 70 miles away, there was a police stop and a gun battle, and the spokesman for the group was killed in the gun battle, or is believed to be. He's the individual that was killed. That's not been officially announced. And eight others were arrested. So that is now over. The whole thing started over whether or not the federal government has a right to control what you do with your own land. The federal government said it's not about your own land. Some ranchers were poaching on other lands and setting fires where fires could not be set, and various other things. The people of this area of Oregon where this standoff occurred wanted these idiots gone. So the governor of Oregon said, we need to act, we need to get rid of them. It eventually led to this last night. And as I said, their spokesman appears to have been killed in the gunfight. Police are investigating. At some of what's happening at 6:15, let's do this. We'll take a break, come back, teach you a little bit more about the caucuses coming up, and tell you about caucus news that happened in the last 24 hours. Andrea's got that, but first back to Mary for traffic. No Olympic traffic, Mary, sorry.
Thank goodness.
Text question. We're trying to figure out the text question, the state of the state addresses today. And I want the text question to be something along these lines. What should the governor promise you? What would you like to be promised in the state of the state today? And if you don't have anything particular in mind, make it up. As always, at 312-981-7200, we may adjust the question a little bit. I'm not sure that's the right way to put it. But we're all confused, bewildered, and amazed, because who knows what the governor can say today in the state of the state, because the state of the state is it's a hot mess.
Are we going to do, remember last year we did a video of the state of the show?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to shoot before the end of the week.
Should we all be worried?
The state of the show is actually strong.
Okay.
Yeah, the state of the show is much better news than the state of the state.
Is there a butt coming? Or?
No, not in the least. No, the ratings are great. The revenues are great. Generally speaking, we all get along. We got a lot of positives. At 6:17, we'll take a break, come back, but get your texts in. What would you like the governor to promise you in the true vein of politicians, Republican, Democrat, Venusian? What would you like the governor to promise you in the state of the state address today? And if you want to go the straight route and say, listen, I'd like to even promise to fix the state, to get along, to deal with the Democrats and their idiocy, and to talk to each other. That's crazy. But if you want him to promise you that, throw in 312-981-7200. We're back after this.
Hello, Iowa! It's the Iowa Caucus Raucus with Andrea Dahlis.
That, of course, being the traditional Iowa punk music. Didn't the punk movement start in Iowa City, didn't it?
It did not.
Or was it Ames?
No, but there's a band, a very heavy metal band, if you will, called Slipknot. And they have a song called Iowa, which we can't play because I did try to preview it. And it would basically be, you know, remember the Dean episode we had?
Oh, a lot of bleeps.
Yeah, a lot of bleeps. Oh, too many bleeps.
All right, so you had said Chuck Grassley's in the news?
Chuck Grassley is in the news. That's our caucus term for the day. Pains me to play it, but this is the fight song of the University of Iowa.
We should explain that it pains you because?
I went to the University of Illinois, proud graduate of the U of I. But we're focusing on Iowa today. My goddaughter's about to be a proud graduate in May. But our term today is the full Grassley. What, you ask, is that? Chuck Grassley is Iowa's senior senator. He's served since 1981. He's Republican, previously served the House of Representatives and the Iowa State Legislature. He was the very first candidate, Steve, to visit every single county in Iowa, all 99 counties, to meet and greet voters. He's 80 years old now. He's completed the annual meet and greet, holding at least one meeting with Iowans in each of the state's 99 counties every year since 1980.
Oh, he's still doing it.
Thus comes the term, the full Grassley. He completed what would be...
You made that up. That's actually an Iowa term.
That's actually a term. The full Grassley, it's called. It's no small feat. He actually just completed his final, what many believe to be his final full Grassley, last October. And again, it's no small feat. You don't just go take a picture and leave. He actually holds town hall meetings. Most of the candidates have tried to mimic this as well.
Hold on, the band was going to play again.
The smallest counties in Iowa include Merrill County, Plymouth County, which has a population of 755, and the smallest Anthony County, population 567. But he spends the equal amount of time in every county, which is great.
That is impressive.
Yeah, Rick Santorum was the first candidate to do it last year. Mitt Romney did it in 2012. Michelle Bachmann did it, too. She did it in just 10 days, only to finish last place in the caucuses. So this year is what they're billing the 2016 version of the full Grassley. He's going to hit the trail this week, appearing with nearly all of the remaining Republican presidential candidates. So it was not to show one candidate he's backing, although it appears that he gave a big show for Donald Trump on Saturday in Iowa. He'll attend campaign events this week for Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio.
But he's more like Grandpa inviting everybody over to the house.
He says he just wants to make sure a Republican is elected president. So he's backing all of them. Okay. Chris Christie, John Kasich, and Jeb Bush. He's going to appear at rallies with them this week as well. So is it whoever Grassley supports wins? Yes and no. He backed former Senator Bob Dole in 1988, but then Texas Governor George W. Bush in 2000. Now, we can't forget to mention Iowa's junior Republican Senator Joni Ernst, who's made a big showing in her first year in office. She's doing her own campaign swings throughout the state. She appeared with Marco Rubio at a campaign rally in Des Moines on Monday.
Is she endorsing?
She says she's not going to make an announcement until after the caucuses. But this is the second event that she's been at with Rubio.
Okay.
So she's kind of leaning toward him. But again, she says she is not going to make an endorsement until after the caucuses. Grassley, though, will most likely be pulled off the campaign trail this week for his day job. He, again, has not missed a roll call vote on the Senate floor since 1993. And he had a pretty good reason for that. He was with President Bill Clinton after the massive flooding in Iowa. That was in 1993.
That's the last vote he missed?
That was the last vote he missed, 1993.
Well, he's not going to endorse Rubio. Rubio never shows up to vote.
So that is the full Grassley, and that's today's Caucus Raucous.
And we'll continue at 626 right after this on 720 WGN. But first...
Hey! Is this heaven?
No. It's Iowa.
There's much to do on today's program. I'm actually, I think, going to do the state of the state as I think Governor Rauner should do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sometime maybe in the 7 o'clock hour.
Maybe you get some applause.
I would like tepid golf claps.
Like?
Yeah, tepid golf claps. Was I was in a band called Tepid Golf Claps? I don't remember that bit. But I would like to get some of that when, you know, when you guys are half paying attention to me.
I'll cry in the background.
Oh, that'd be appropriate for the state of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what some of the people are texting in. The question, Dave, the text question of the day is, what do you want the governor to promise you today in the state of the state address? 847, winning lottery ticket. Seems fair.
Yeah, absolutely. Except, are you going to pay him?
630. That's a good point. Yeah, maybe just lottery tickets.
Just the tickets.
630, I want the governor to promise me he won't back down. Thank you, Tom Petty. 630, I want the governor to promise they will switch by 2020 from a punch in public and government services that they have to pay into what they will switch into the Obamacare insurance plan. Okay, listen, if you guys are going to send me technical information.
Yeah, this is like if you're gonna serious.
If you're going to send me like serious stuff, first off, you have to put it in English. And secondly, it has to make sense. A15, like to be able to grow my own medicine.
Well, you partially can if you have a license for it now.
You can't grow it.
Well, if you have a licensed dispensary.
Oh, you have a license
A15 wanted to promise to change the water fountains to chocolate fountains.
Oh, puppies and rainbows for everybody.
A15, O'Hare Noise, who was there first? I believe if you look back to the Stone Age, the airport was there. Yeah. 312, how about negotiate with everyone instead of it's my way or stomp his feet, so disappointed in him so far. Not exactly what happened, but 312, why cut school funding? Why hold children accountable for government's idiocracy? 630, since everything is so messed up, the governor should promise to give us all puppies.
That helps.
And I believe in 2016, a puppy in every kennel, a kennel in every home. Madigan bobbleheads instead of state tax refunds. We could probably afford bobbleheads more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How about Madigan pinatas?
Okay, that's a little...
Everybody gets a Madigan pinata and a bat.
Might be a little more expensive.
So, all right, 6:31, and let's get to the big story. Andrea Darlis is here.
Please rise, part of Mount Session.
Karen Conti joins us, and we talk the law as we do just about every Wednesday. And let me find the right button here. Good morning, Mrs. Conti.
Good morning, Mr. Cochran.
We're getting closer to the opening of your new firm, and how close are we? Is it next month?
It's next week, February 1st, Monday. Open the doors, and I'm really excited about going out on my own. I'm leaving my firm. It's a good thing, and I'm just very happy to be on my own and doing my own thing.
And the new firm will be called Conti, 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 and Conti?
Conti Law. I'm making it real easy for all those people who hate the law firms that have 12 names that you can't spell, so it's real easy.
Conti Law, and you can contact Karen anytime. What's that contact information look like?
You can call me at 312-332-7800 or kconti@kcontilaw.com.
All right, several things to discuss here, but let's start with Andrea's favorite topic, red light cameras. She loves the red light cameras.
Oh, God.
where are we legally with this? What was decided?
Well, this guy, John Bills, was a longtime city worker who was convicted yesterday on all counts, resounding victory for the federal government. Apparently, he was involved in bribes, and he was taking $2 million or so in bribes and gifts for steering these contracts to the certain company in Arizona who made hundreds of millions of dollars on these contracts. The whole thing stinks. The jury came back very quickly, I think, in a case like this. And basically, we know now that there was money paid to people to get these contracts in place. It's all very, very, very dirty.
And because of that, does he have any possibility of getting out of a lot of jail time?
Well, the only way he could possibly do that, because, you know, the guidelines, the federal sentencing guidelines, will be driven by how much money is involved. And although he took $2 million, which is a lot of money, the government could say that because it involved hundreds of millions of dollars of contracts, that would drive his sentence. The dollar drives up the sentence, which could mean that he could serve up to 20 years in jail, which is a lot of time in federal court.
It's the 85% rule. Where what is
yeah.
that? Yeah, 85.
Yeah,
you got to serve 85% of whatever the final number is.
Karen, I'm going to ask you what probably everybody is going to ask. Since the whole process was tainted from its foundation, would there be any way that there would be red light camera refunds for all those scofflaws out there, myself not included?
No, I just don't see that, Andrea, because it's just there's no causal connection between the idea that for some reason that system wasn't working or it malfunctioned or they wouldn't have done it anyway. Maybe they were going to use that type of thing, but they weren't going to use this particular company. I just don't see a causal connection between people getting tickets and bribes having been given to get this company in place. I do think the more interesting issue might be, was there anybody above him that was involved? And his lawyer kept saying in court, oh, this went way above him. Yes, he took bribes, perhaps, but all these people, you know, who made the decisions were certainly involved. And so that was kind of a cryptic reference.
Wasn't my idea. Wasn't my idea to get super rich and steal money.
That's right.
We have a significant move made by President Obama in regards to kids in prison. We'll get to that coming up. And can panhandlers work? Is it Daily Plaza? Is that the argument?
Daily Plaza, yes.
Can panhandlers work Daily Plaza or not? We'll get to some of that stuff coming up, too. Kev, get it done with the bumps. You know, we freshened the bumps this week, and that's a technical term for Steve was getting tired of the music. Karen Conti rejoins us, and Karen Conti is talking of the law, as you do Sunday nights, right?
Sunday nights, I'm going to be back on with Brian this Sunday after a long hiatus caused mostly by those Blackhawks.
Right, Sunday nights. They had a string of Sunday night games, but now with the All-Star break. You're on with Noonan at what time?
From 8 till 9 in the evening.
All right, what did President Obama do about kids in prison?
Well, he made some recommendations for the Federal Bureau of Prisons, which, you know, governs all the federal prisons, and probably it's going to trickle down to the state prisons. And basically he's saying that kids should not be in solitary confinement. Most prisoners should not be. And listen, that everyone is saying, well, who cares? What does this mean? When you're in solitary confinement, the chance that you're going to commit suicide or become extremely mentally ill and violent is very, very high. So if these people are ever going to get out of jail, we don't want them not to be able to integrate with their families, hold jobs, and of course, become violent. So, you know, to eliminate, for most people, for, unless you're really a danger to somebody else, to eliminate the issue of solitary confinement in jails is really a good, good thing, knowing what I know about people in prison. So that recommendation is going to be made. I assume it's going to be followed, and we're going to have much less of that go on in the future.
What would the argument against it be?
Well, I think some people think that it's the ultimate form of punishment. So if a prisoner violates an internal rule, what are you going to do? He's already in prison, right? He's already getting crummy food. He already doesn't see the light of day. So we put him in solitary to really punish him. Well, that's all well and good, and that's a tool that can be used as a threat. But when you actually do it, it doesn't turn out very well for the prisoner.
The idea that we can and that we should put kids in, what do we define as kids, under 18?
Under 18, and they're particularly susceptible.
But do I understand this? Are they in the adult population?
Yeah, some of them are, absolutely. I mean, if they've been convicted of adult crimes, they're going to be, they're definitely going to be in among the prison population.
I think what makes people, you know, crazy is some 15 or 16-year-old commits a murder or multiple murders, and they get juvenile detention and they're out in 6 or 7 years. What's the flip of that? What can you do to make sure that crime is punished, but it's punished in a more humane way for somebody that's age appropriate?
Well, you know, these are very difficult things. The juvenile justice system sets forth, you know, they have creative tools, Steve, to try to figure out how to get these people back in. And that's, you know, they can mandate education. They can mandate certain training. They can put them through boot camps. I mean, there's all kinds of methods because, you know, a kid who's a certain age, there's a hope for them. Not all of them, actually. It's sad. But some of them can be rehabbed. And another Supreme Court case that just came down, I think it was yesterday, that Supreme Court said that, you know, kids can never be sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. And that's now retroactive, meaning that if kids in the past, kids meaning under 18, were sentenced to life without possibility of parole, that's unconstitutional. We always have to give them the opportunity to get out. Not to say that we're going to give them a limited sentence, but they have the opportunity to attend a parole hearing to say, listen, I've rehabbed. I'm a better person. I can now join society, and that should be considered. Another good ruling, I think, for kids.
Karen, I want to ask you about what we teased before the break, the panhandlers suing the city so yeah. they can solicit money in Daly Plaza. I mean, on the surface, it sounds crazy.
Well, you know what? These panhandlers have been largely successful through the ACLU and other organizations. In fact, our high court in the federal court just struck down a law in Springfield, because in Springfield, Illinois, of course, they try to pass a law that said the panhandlers can't roam around the downtown area. I always thought it might be the legislators, but that was just my opinion.
That's farther anyway, downstate, those panhandlers.
Yeah, and the court said, no, you can't do that. It's a First Amendment right to ask for money, and you can't criminalize homelessness. So, yes, you can prevent panhandlers from being aggressive or standing in the way of a person going into a store or things like that, but it can't be vague, like you can't panhandle, because that's against the First Amendment.
Yeah, like I'm a soft touch because I know people who have been homeless and have gone through it, and I work with some homeless organizations, and everybody is a couple of paychecks away from being in that kind of pain. So you're a couple of missed mortgage payments. So, you know, the thing that you don't want to be is overly judgmental here. But some are more aggressive than others. I got to say, in 20-plus years of working in downtown Chicago, I've only had one incident.
Yeah, you know, it's not as common as you think. And is it unsightly to you sometimes when you're walking down the street? Does it make you feel uncomfortable to have someone ask you for money? Absolutely. And I understand store owners don't want people standing out in front of their elegant store asking for money. It makes people feel like they don't want to go into the store. But, you know, you got to balance the people's rights to stand and ask for money or say things that might be offensive. That's kind of our First Amendment. So it's a real thin line. And the courts have kind of come down on the side of the panhandlers most of the time.
Yeah, I do. I do. A couple of quickies before we break. Miss Columbia the other day, we didn't get a chance to talk about this, told Steve Harvey she wasn't going to sue him. Look, I know we live in an upside-down, wacky world, but what the hell kind of lawsuit could she bring? It was a mistake on a card that he read incorrectly. How would she have grounds to sue anyway?
I mean, some creative lawyer who just wants some publicity might argue that it was intentional infliction of emotional distress.
Oh, stop it.
Because she was tricked into emotionally believing she was the winner and not the winner. What, you know, that wouldn't go anywhere at all.
The best thing that could have happened to her career is exactly what happened, because everybody knows who Miss Columbia is, and I would bet if I stopped 100 people on Michigan Avenue, 100 of them couldn't tell you who won.
Well, and my theory has always been that that might have been a setup, because, you know, who watches those pageants anymore? And now we all know about the pageant. Could that have been staged? Absolutely. I don't put it past anyone to have, you know, planned that whole thing out, that drama.
And one more. Jameis Winston is the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now. He had a good rookie season, but this is the guy who was shoving crab legs down his pants in college and also was accused of rape. His accuser at Florida State was given $950,000 to settle a lawsuit. Is that some sort of tacit admission of guilt?
Well, you could say that if you talk about, you know, does money equal signed guilt? On the other hand, you know, if this guy has a ton of money and he wants to avoid, you know, his career being impacted or his name being on the Wheaties box or whatever, $950,000 is a drop in the bucket for him. So,
well, Florida State. It's Florida State actually post Jameis Winston that paid the money. So I guess
I guess
the notion was the school didn't properly protect the grounds or the life of these kids, you know, to be able to not be raped on campus.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. Well, I think in that case it probably is some sort of tacit admission, because normally speaking, universities don't pay out money unless there's a serious liability. They don't want to set a precedent that they're going to be responsible for what goes on campus. So to me, that probably does state that there was something wrong that happened there.
Karen Conti, Sunday Night with Noonan, and where else can we get a hold of you if we need to call you, if we need bail at noon today?
You can call me at 312-332-7800, or I might be panhandling in the Daly Plaza, or you can email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
I'd give Karen a dollar.
I would, too.
Yeah, no more than that, but I'd give her a dollar.
Thanks, guys. You guys are so sweet.
Me, too. Count me.
Love you,
all
Karen.
Right, that's $3. 6:56. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
Alan said that he doesn't know why they shot him. It was completely unprovoked. There was no reason for it. It was uncalled for, and they were complying, and nobody had a weapon. According to Ammon, straight out of Ammon's mouth, everybody complied. They put their hands on their head and were getting down on the ground when they opened fire on the boy.
Well, why would we doubt him, law-abiding citizen that he is? Alex Stone joins us. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
Hey, Steve, doing well. And yeah, there are two very different stories about how this whole thing unfolded. Law enforcement sources are telling us that they were fired upon. Remember, this is a group of mainly militia members who have been armed and have said they were going to go down with a fight. And the FBI apparently believes that's what happened, that their agents were fired upon, and that's when they opened fire and killed LaVoy Finicum, who had been the group's spokesperson, essentially, coming out and talking to the media, talking to folks in town. But the Bundy family says, nope, that's not how it happened, that these were innocent men who had no guns, were law-abiding citizens, even though they had been illegally on this federal land for 3 weeks, and that they were then shot without any instigation on their part. Two very different takes on how this whole thing went down last night.
If the police and the law enforcement officials involved wanted to mow down and murder these people, they could have done it 3 weeks ago and saved some time.
Well,
but why bring common sense into this?
Well, and now we have to figure out what and see what they're going to do here. There are still quite a few, we believe. It could be one. It could be 100 militia members who are holed up at the wildlife refuge. Nobody knows how many people. The militia members have not wanted anybody to know for tactical reasons how many there are. But they believe to be a handful of guys who are still up there, and they are vowing to fight. And now there is a call in a national militia network on the website of Operation Mutual Defense for militia members across the country to show up to fight and die, essentially, in Oregon and fight this fight against the federal government. The FBI telling us a few moments ago it has now set up roadblocks. It's going to end this thing soon. around the wildlife refuge. So the only people who can go in are ranchers who own land in the area, and those who come out who aren't ranchers who own land in the area are going to be arrested for being illegally on that federal land. That's going to choke this thing off, because up until now, they've been able to go into town and get food and supplies and everything that they need, and they've been living perfectly fine going back to the refuge after they go off the refuge. Now, if they go off, they're not coming back in, and their supplies are only going to last for so long.
Alex, why did they let this go on for so long? Why not go in week one or day one?
Well, they didn't want a bloody fight. They didn't want what we've seen happen before, where SWAT teams move in and shots are fired, because these militia members have said they were going to go down with a fight. And it could be dangerous for the FBI agents who go in, or the state police or local police, whichever agency ended up doing it. And then there was going to be criticism and anger from the side of those who support the militias. So they decided, we're just going to wait this thing out. And that's essentially what they have done through this whole thing. They knew that Ammon Bundy and the other leaders of this group were heading to town to hold a community meeting. They had been holding these on a regular basis and been allowed to drive into town and drive back to the wildlife refuge, and they decided to do this off the refuge. If they had done it on, no telling what the bloodshed would have been, because there are buildings, there are vehicles, things that places that the members of the militia could hide. They've got a lookout tower. They could go into the buildings, and then you're talking about searching buildings and trying to clear them. This was on Highway 395 in very rural Oregon, the best-case scenario to pull them over in a highly remote area and order them out of the vehicle. Now, again, the FBI saying when they ordered them out, the gunfire erupted and they returned fire. Others saying that no, the FBI just began firing.
And knowing what we know about the David Koresh situation many years ago, there's no real formula on how long to balance these things and when to put an end to it. But it seems the governor's patience is worn thin. And from everything Alex Stone is telling us, Alex Stone, ABC News this morning, it could get even. I was not aware there are still people there. So people understand, there's an unknown number of people still at that wildlife refuge. Oh, and by the way, none of the local residents wanted those people to be there in the first place.
No, the locals have said, get out of our town. They put up signs in Bern saying, militia members, go home. But you talk to the militia members, and they say, no, we're totally wanted here, that we are defending the local people. They claim they're defending, initially, two ranchers who were sent to prison for arson. Those ranchers claiming that they were doing wildfire mitigation on their own land. The federal government says, no, it was arson on federal land. But those ranchers have said over and over again they don't want the help of these militia members, that they are in prison, they disagree with their imprisonment, but they don't want these militia members to speak on their behalf and to do this on the federal land. But the militia members say, oh, no, they want us, we are here for them. It's almost like talking to Donald Trump at times, where everything is, we are wonderful, nobody dislikes us,
right?
And that we are perfect in every way. That's what we have heard from them over and over again, of no matter what you say to them, of people don't want you or people are against you, it's always, no, everybody loves us and we're here for them. It's very different, though, when you go into town and talk to people and they say, no, we do not want these guys here.
Alex Stone, ABC News. I'm guessing we may even talk again before the end of the show, but nice job as always.
You got it. Thanks, Steve.
At Stone, ABC News, all over social media. Alex Stone, get it done on this Oregon story. And there could be another shootout before this is over if there are armed and dangerous militia members there, and an all-call for kooks around the country to join them. It's 7:16. We're back after this. Traffic trouble spots update. And then I've got Hawks tickets to give away for the first. Is it the first home game after the All-Star break?
It's February 9th, so I believe it's the second game.
Second one after the All-Star break.
Well, it's the Sharks.
We have tickets for the Hawks and the Sharks coming up. We have Stuff to Puck. I can't say we've done it. The person involved is Stuff to Puck in their own pants.
Kevin and Ross.
They simply provide the puck. The puck stuffing is done by the person that is actually the person involved.
Oh, they put the puck in their own pants.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
It would be awkward.
Puck pants placement is a personal thing.
For legal reasons, that's probably a good idea.
I think so, because it's all on video.
When do we get the clues?
Well, not now, but soon. Mary's back, and it's Traffic Trouble Spots on WGN.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Hawks. Take the attack, yeah, and we'll back you, Blackhawks. You're flying high.
Have you seen the Sportsnet, Comcast Sportsnet commercial where the little kid is scooting across the ice to this song?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Here comes the Hawks, and the kid could not be going slower. He's just on his little tippy-toe double runner skates trying to stay alive.
And then at the very end...
Dumps it.
Falls.
So, all right, are you ready for your clues on Win Hawks tickets here? Courtesy of whom, Kevin?
Courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing.
I will give you three clues. I'll give you three clues right now. And normally, all we have to do is say we're starting the contest and somebody calls up and gets the correct answer. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. Clue number one, who has a puck in their pants? Clue number one, who has a puck in their pants? This individual was originally drawn to a life in the church before his career took a different turn.
A life in the church. Not Dave Ennett.
No, but I did say his, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did.
Life in the church.
Very important pronoun right there.
Okay,
got it?
Yeah.
Got it? No? Don't have it?
Yeah,
okay.
No. Okay. Oh, give us more clues. More clues.
Already.
One of the other things he has dabbled in life but chose not to pursue professionally is a career in music.
Okay, church music.
Talented musician. Sense.
But not necessarily together. Church music.
Not church music in
Could
this case.
Could be a singer. Is he a singer?
Multi-talented, I would say.
Oh. Entertainer.
Yeah. I mean, most of your great musicians are multi-talented.
Okay, more clues.
Give me one more.
All right,
the
one
three.
More. Okay.
Remember, the first clue was originally considered a life in the church, also dabbled in music, considered a music career professionally. Do we really have a winner already?
Yep.
We got it with the first clue? Holy cow.
I have no idea how people do this.
Our listeners are awesome.
All right, I'll keep going. Let's see. He shares a distinction with legendary L.A. Dodgers broadcaster Vin Scully.
Oh. Hmm.
You don't have a clue, do you?
No, I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
You just lost me. I thought I had it. Now I'm done.
Dabbled in the church. Talented musician. Shares a distinction with Vin Scully.
Oh, wait. I think I know now. Okay, I don't.
Terry in LaPorte, Indiana knows.
I do.
Do
I
you? You think so? Yep.
No, you
yes,
don't know.
I do.
We'll find out right now. Hey, Terry.
Yeah.
If you're right about this, who are you taking to the game?
What's that?
I said, if you're right about your guess, who are you taking to the game?
Probably my wife or my son.
Oh, it's going to be a fight at the house, isn't there?
Yeah.
Who? What's your criteria on who you're going to choose? You going to have some sort of who does more for me?
Well, no. The wife has actually watches the Hawks since I've been watching them, and the son is a New Jersey Devils fan, so I would torture him by taking him.
Oh, I like that. That's evil. I take him. I force him to watch how hockey's supposed to be played. All right, Terry. I don't know how you got this, but who has a puck in their pants?
Orion Samuelson, the Big O.
3, 2, 1. I'm Orion Samuelson. There's a puck in my pants, and now my cleaners won't clean them for me.
Doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Yeah.
Hashtag awesome sauce.
Terry, what do you do?
I drive a truck.
Well, I appreciate your support. Stay safe out there. And what gave it away when I said that someone has a puck in their pants? How in God's name did you know this?
I really declined to say that because if you pay attention and listen to WGN, you'll find it the day before.
Oh, somebody put it up the day before?
Yeah.
Come on.
What? No one put Wait, it what? Up. Chris Duffy will sometimes add little hints to your
promo.
Oh,
the promo. Got it.
Oh, I know what it was. I did hear it.
Well, what was
it? What did
it?
He say?
It just what Kevin just played, the awesome sauce thing.
Hashtag awesome sauce. Yeah.
Oh,
well, that's still
that
pretty
too.
Good.
He gave
still,
it away.
No, that's still pretty good by Terry.
Because
we do the awesome sauce thing a lot. So I think Terry's pretty good.
Well, Orion says it all the time.
Other clues I would have given, kleptomaniac.
No, he's not.
Kleptomaniac, yes. Never actually been on a farm.
That's
these are
not
all clues.
True. Really? That's not true.
Yeah, those are all clues.
He's so knowledgeable in agriculture.
I'm telling you, he's a hell of an actor. Yeah.
The Vin Scully thing, I thought, gave it away.
Yeah.
The Vin Scully thing, that was your clue.
That was what tipped me off.
I never mentioned broadcasting. I never mentioned television. I never mentioned radio. I never mentioned WGN. And Terry's got it in one hit. Very impressive. All right, 726. What am I doing now? Well, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. I want to thank them again, right?
Yeah, that's right. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com or on Facebook. Terry will also be entered to win four season tickets for next year as well, thanks to Four Seasons.
And let's reopen the texter lines now, 312-981-7200. What are you looking for in the State of the State address today? What would you like Governor Rauner to promise you? In the long vein of political promises that don't get delivered, the long line of those, what would you like the governor to promise you? Make them up if you don't have anything off the top of your mind. And I will give you the speech I believe Governor Rauner would like to make and the speech he should make here in just a few minutes. But first at 727, let's do this. We'll come back in a second at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN.
I remember like it was yesterday, 1992, or was it 93? Maybe it wasn't yesterday, maybe it was 2 weeks ago. But I do remember it, Rhythm Nation Tour. Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, Janet Jackson.
I saw this tour.
Janet called me up on stage, and I was going to dance with the Rhythm Nation dancers.
Is this true?
But you remember the they wore like army fatigues?
Yeah.
They couldn't find an army hat to fit me, so I had to go back and sit in my seat. It's the only reason I wasn't a Janet Jackson backup dancer.
That's the only reason.
It's the only reason, completely. Coming up on 740, I have in front of me what I believe the State of the State address should be, but first let me go to a couple more texts. These are texts coming in from people who are saying this is what the governor ought to include in his State of the State address today. Because, you know, when you examine this, you go, you want the job? What could Governor Rauner say today in any way, shape, or form? You know, of all the jobs you have to do, think of whatever you're driving to work now. Think of whatever you have to do today that you're dreading the most. Or something you had to do in the last month that you really, really did not look forward to. Can you imagine Rauner wakes up this morning and goes, oh, crap. Holy crap, I got to do this speech today.
Poppycock.
What am I going to say? Here's a few things the listeners would like from the 773. Governor Rauner, please promise to stop trying to be too cool for the room and drop your G's. And stop dropping your G's. Remember, Ro Khan pointed this out early on in an investigative report that he doesn't say his G's. You know?
That has been said of him, yes.
Yeah, yeah. From the 262, I want a promise of four more years of the Cochran Show. Yeah, that's what it's that's what Rauner
Wait,
nice.
Yeah,
yeah. From the 847, in light of yesterday, wants Governor Rauner to promise to bring back the Honey Bears.
I don't think he can do that.
He's a governor. A lot of power in that office.
Not as much power as there is up at Hallis Hall.
From the 630, I want the governor to promise a chicken for every pot and pot for everyone who likes chicken.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Major. Guys.
See what they did there? And this may be the best one I've seen from the 727. I'd like Governor Rauner to promise to never give me up, never let me go, never run around and desert me.
I heard that before.
You guys are funny. You guys are funny. Texters 312-981-7200. I have here, and I'd like tepid applause at the appropriate spots for this.
Of course.
In the true tradition of tepid applause. I have here what I believe, and it's short. What I believe the State of the State address would be. Well, that's, you can apply for that. No, actually, you can apply for a short speech. What I believe the State of the State address would be if Governor Rauner could say what he's thinking.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. This is from Governor Rauner, what he should be saying.
Yes. And then I'm going to post at Cochran Show on Twitter and Steve Cochran Show on Facebook, as well as WGNRadio.com, a new blog this morning of what the governor's speech could be. Okay. Do you have any music for this, Kev? Do you have anything that's just... Are we standing by with tepid applause for you guys? Let me hear your rehearsal of tepid applause.
Ready? Okay, ready, Dave?
It's pretty good. All right, so let's start... Oh, there's tears as well. There's crying as well. That could be right. I'm Governor Rauner. Thanks for having me. I'll be at Zanies this weekend in Rosemont. But in the meantime, the State of the State is a mess.
No, there's no applause for that.
Well, you could applaud my recognition of the fact that the State of the State is a mess.
All right, well, that's true. We get up maybe two claps.
The State of the State is a mess. It's like the first 10 minutes of The View. It's like everything in Charlie Sheen's life. It's like the entire field of the presidential candidates, both Republican and Democrat, the state of the state is a hot mess. You know, as governor. As governor, if I were completely honest, I would like everyone in the state of able mind and body to grow the hell up, to stop whining about what's yours and how you are entitled to keep what's yours, and no one has to sacrifice. This mess wasn't created yesterday. It's not going to be fixed tomorrow. So how about we all suck it up and actually get out there and fix it together? I think that line might draw some boos as well, if you want to throw in a couple of boos.
Ooh.
It's not a great boo, I got to be honest with you.
Boo.
Sure, to be honest, Governor Runner continues. Sure, to be honest, I do believe that unions are choking the state and their leaders care more about themselves than their members. Sure, I'd like to wrap Michael Madigan and duct tape, drive him to the lake and throw him in.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, that was a little better than tepid.
Right.
But I can't do that. I can't do that. So I'm asking you to just come along with me on a ride that won't be quite as fun as the best ride at Six Flags, but it's a ride we can take together.
Oh, together.
Together. Togetherness, because you get applause.
Together's always a good word.
And on that ride, I believe the following. I'm asking you to not believe everything you read and the first thing you see online. I'm asking you to go out and get some fresh air. I'm asking you to take your family to dinner while you still can. I'm asking you to support the businesses of the state of Illinois and to be positive and believe that, in fact, we do have a future, because that's where it begins.
That's good. Future. Yeah. Looking ahead.
I'm also asking you to understand that in the same way you have to pay bills at home, we have to pay bills in the state of Illinois. There's only so much money. And right now, the pile of money we have is overshadowed by that giant pile of bills that we can't pay. We're underwater, people. We're underwater, and I'm not a strong swimmer. I need you to throw me a life raft to help me pull this state back above the surface so that we can not drown together, but that we can thrive and survive, so that we will not be Leonardo DiCaprio on that plank of wood while Rose says goodbye. No, we will be Tom Hanks in that movie that I can't remember with his buddy the volleyball. And we'll eventually... That's right.
Amen.
Let me hear it.
Amen.
And we'll eventually end up on a deserted road in Arizona where a hot girl in a truck will drive by and take us up to the house and do who knows what.
Props for analogies. Wow.
I also want you to understand and believe that just because you paid it, just because it was taken out of your check, doesn't mean you're going to get it all back. And that you ought to talk to your union leaders, your people now, and say, I want you to settle. I want you to settle like Michael Landon in Little House on the Prairie. I want you to settle for an amount of money that we both can feel comfortable with. I want you to get as much of your benefits as possible before we have to give you even less. Again, I want you to grow up and accept the little thing we call reality. And the reality in Springfield is we're in a hell of a lot of trouble. So I want you to go forth from this little get-together we call the State of the State today and know that even though this state is a hot mess today, all it takes is a lot of hand sanitizer and a little bit of luck. And we're going to be able to turn this around because together we can make a difference. Together we can fight this fight. Separately, we're screwed and we're all moving to Iowa. I'm Governor Bruce Rauner, and this has been the State of the State. And now I'm going back to my office to begin drinking. That's the speech. That's the speech.
Wow.
Largely off the cuff, largely off the top of my head, that I believe he'd like to give.
Love the movie references, too.
Yeah.
Does he sign off at the end of his speech?
Yeah, he does a mic drop. He does a mic drop, and he goes, peace out, bitches, and then he just walks off. Yeah, that's generally the way it works. I'm telling you what. I'm telling you right now, if Governor Rauner works a poppycock into the State of the State address today, the first person to call me tomorrow morning after 6 a.m. and tell me when the poppycock happened will win everything on the prize sheet.
What if he makes a Leonardo DiCaprio or a Tom Hanks reference?
$20 out of my wallet.
Right. That was Castaway, by the way.
Was it?
The movie you couldn't think of with
Castaway. Yeah. Well, I got so wrapped up in the emotion of it. It was Castaway.
But what's the volleyball's name?
Wilson.
Yeah.
Used to live here in the northern suburbs.
That's correct.
Yeah. was born here, as a matter of fact. It's 747, and again, I'll post the actual State of the State address I believe the governor should give, minus some of the rhetoric and the loudness of that speech, coming up later this morning. I don't know, do we have any of the Trump sound from the first debate? I don't know if we can, let me know if we can get to that, Kev, because Donald Trump in the first debate, this leads to the news story that's percolating today that Donald Trump's going to skip the debate tomorrow night. Trump is upset with Fox, and he doesn't want Megyn Kelly to be one of the moderators in the debate. With all the people that he's offended throughout this process, the most amazing thing to me is that he's been able to maintain support of women.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is a guy that has had, and this, again, keep in mind where we're coming from here. This is a conservative core that has to vote for him in New Hampshire and caucus for him in Iowa for him to get wins. So if you go with the basic tenet of a conservative, that it's family first. Here's a guy that has been married three times or four times.
Three times, I believe.
Yes.
Ivanka, Marla, or Ivana, Marla, and Melania.
And Melania. This is a guy that dated mostly supermodels. And this is a guy that has had affection for beautiful women, but has shown great disdain for women who don't meet his criteria. Now, if you want to be a playboy, if you want to be that guy, that's fine. But I'm not sure how this adds up to conservative leader who is going to take the Republican Party and the far right wing of the Republican Party into a brave new world of their making. It just doesn't seem to fit. So with women being the largest voting bloc, if women show up at the polls, it surprises me when I see women supporting Trump and women at these various political gatherings, especially going back to the first debate when Megyn Kelly asked a question that was completely fair because it was factual. Here was that moment.
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account
only Rosie several... O'Donnell.
No, it wasn't. Your Twitter account.
Thank you.
For the record, it was well beyond Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Your Twitter account has several disparaging comments about women's looks.
And when he said, yes, I'm sure it was, you know, he's admitting that he said a lot of, you know, harsh things about women.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to his overall thin-skinned character, which is if somebody insults Donald Trump in any way, shape, or form, he strikes back like a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And well, that's an insult to 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like a 9-year-old.
Not to mention what he said about Carly Fiorina, too.
Well, Carly Fiorina's face and other things. Mm-hmm. Now, in regards to the Megyn Kelly comment, you may remember his response the next day in follow-up interviews was this.
She gets out and she starts asking me all sorts of ridiculous questions. And, you know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever.
Yeah, that was just disgusting and uncalled for.
And there's no way that was anything other than a reference to a woman having her period and being bitchy. That's exactly what he was saying.
It completely was. And trying to backtrack out of that? Come on.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. So because of those moments, he's decided that Megyn Kelly shouldn't be on the debate with Fox tomorrow night. Here's the thing. You don't get to tell Fox, you don't get to tell MSNBC, you don't get to tell CNN, you don't get to tell NBC, you don't get to tell anybody who the moderators are and what questions they could ask. So again, I go back to the same original premise. Is Donald Trump a bully and a coward? Yes, he is. In my view, he absolutely is. Is Donald Trump someone who ought to suck it up and show up tomorrow night and be a man? Yes, he is. And I believe he will, but only for self-survival and preservation. And that would make for an interesting view for the reality TV generation that we all live in. But I also believe that Donald Trump is afraid. I believe Donald Trump is afraid of Megyn Kelly showing him up again. And I believe he's so thin-skinned and so damaged that he can't fathom or tolerate that or even understand it. So for everybody that's lashing out at Megyn Kelly and lashing out at Fox, what are you kidding me?
No.
Fox is still who they've always been. Fox is the Republican network that occasionally does balanced news. MSNBC is the Democrats' network that occasionally does balanced news, and CNN fluctuates somewhere in the middle. Donald Trump is who he always was. Remember when Denny Green had that thing, the Bears are who we thought they were?
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is exactly who we thought he was. Because he's gone out and he's spouted these things that are insults to everybody and insults specifically to women. Again, I'm amazed that anybody's following him, anybody that claims to be a conservative is following him. But I'm just amazed in general that the public is continuing to coalesce behind this guy. Because not only is he a coward and a bully, he's someone, if he were to be elected, could not get anything done in Washington. You would see gridlock like never before. Even with all the cowards in the Republican and the Democratic Party in Congress, they're not going to support this guy. They're not going to support his programs. And if he can't handle Megyn Kelly asking legitimate questions, what's he going to do when the rest of the world starts taking shots at him?
Did you see Fox News had a tongue-in-cheek press release when he said he was not going to attend the debate because Megyn Kelly wouldn't be fair to him? They put out a press release saying that the Ayatollah and Putin would likely treat Trump unfairly as president, and that they said he would remove his cabinet and replace them with his Twitter followers.
That's exactly right. He's got to be surrounded by people who tell him what a genius he is, and his hair actually does look terrific. This is what everybody from Iowa to New Hampshire to Illinois and everywhere around the country need to understand. Yeah, he's saying a lot of feel-good things, but take it beyond that. Imagine a world where Donald Trump is president, and imagine what won't be done. And imagine that him... You know, I'm not being dramatic here. Imagine Donald Trump committing your sons and daughters to military combat because somebody hurt his feelings. It ain't that outlandish, people. That's the guy we're talking about. It's 7:58. We're back after this on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Wide, wide world of plugs. Ross Cochran has a brand new podcast up, you know, as a brand new dad. First off, you know, I've told you this off the air, but let me just say this publicly on the air. And, you know, your mom agrees with me on this. Maureen Cochran.
Yeah, I'm familiar with
her. Yeah. That you and Lauren are doing a great job.
Thank you.
Very.
We're happy to be parents.
It's just it's enjoyable and it's just fun would be the right word. It's fun to see how good you guys are at it.
Thank you
already.
Yeah.
So now I can't see the mayhem behind closed doors when
of
no
course.
One else is there.
Right.
The screaming, the gnashing of teeth, and other things. Where I'm sure Abigail looks at both of you and goes, "Calm down, I'll be fine."
Exactly.
You told me I think it was this morning that you had a great dad moment. What happened before you came?
Oh
back?
Yeah, Abigail. Grace, my daughter, has started socially smiling, like actually smiling to things rather than just smiling because she's pooping. And she gave me a smile before I left for work.
Isn't that
morning.
Great? Isn't
aww.
That great? It's the best.
And you still came into work.
I
just
came really close to calling in.
Yeah.
It's gas.
See, there you go.
No, it's not. Not anymore. No, it's gas when I
it's
smile.
It's always gas.
It's gas when I smile. So here's the thing. You have been doing these dad podcasts.
Yeah, Dad for Life on WGN Plus.
And you have a new one up now, so we just want to alert people to it. And how do they get to it?
They can go to WGN Plus. It's in the lifestyle section of WGN Plus. They can also go onto my Twitter, which is at Cochran Mobile. And this is just, you know, as a public call, if you're following me on Twitter and you have dad advice or a crazy story about being parenting, let me know. I'll put you on a podcast. I end every episode with some sort of real dad story, dad moment.
Sure. Might even put them on as a guest, you said?
Yeah, I would definitely put them on.
How do they follow you on Twitter?
At Cochran Mobile.
At Cochran Mobile. That's the best way to go about it?
That is the best way to go about
okay.
it.
Okay. One more thing before you're dismissed.
Yeah.
John DeCoss is now on YouTube, on a YouTube channel. We're trying to make John so famous he leaves the show.
Sure.
We want to make him a millionaire.
Yeah. John is as big a dope as anybody. And mm-hmm. what he's doing now on YouTube, I think, is kind of emblematic of how people waste time. And it's a day in DeCoss.
Today in DeCoss.
Oh, today in DeCoss.
Today in DeCoss.
And today in DeCoss features videos of John doing things like what?
Such as making something out of Legos. Or actually, Mary, your favorite John video would probably be when John takes a nap in the car.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. I didn't know he was doing that.
I didn't know he was either.
It's kind of tribute to Mary there, huh?
It's a little bit of a tribute to Mary. There's a twist in there for sure.
Nice.
But it's John doing the things that the goal of the channel is, after you watch it, to make you go, huh? And I think most of those videos are on their way.
Yeah, he irons.
Yep.
Eventually, because I'm going to keep bringing it up till he does it, you'll see a video of him making toast.
Yes. You're very interested in his toast.
He also is fumbling for the right remote.
Yes, yes.
In one of the videos.
Which many of us can relate to.
It's very relatable.
Yeah. The trials and tribulations of John Dacos, the stuff he goes through every day. So where do we find that?
That is on YouTube. You can search Today in Dacos. That's also all over your social media at Cochran Show on Twitter and Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. I'd also say that I'm putting up a new Dad for Life podcast is about Donald Trump called You're Not Helping.
Oh, good.
So that'll be up today or tomorrow.
All right, so both of those.
Yeah.
And Today in Dacos. Dacos spelled D-A-C-O-S-S-E, and John, the traditional spelling with a silent P.
Yes.
Okay. All right, a couple more plugs. This Friday, we will be live at Egg Harbor Cafe in Naperville for the Allstate Hometown Voices Tour from 5 to 10. Is that right? 5 to 10?
You'll be 6 to 10.
Well, the opening bell will be broadcast from here, Tribune Tower. 6 to 10 will be... The Steve Cochran Show. Cochran. Your show.
So give Grzanich a heart attack at the end
Mary
of the show.
Mary and I will be on the air from there at 5.
Yes.
So you'll be out there at 5.
And we will take all the
That's it. Yeah. That's it. So we'll do the actual show from 6 to 10 at Egg Harbor Cafe in downtown Naperville. Come on and meet us.
Yeah.
Come on and say hi.
And there's breakfast specials, too.
Yeah, there's breakfast specials, but come on and say hi. Hang out with us.
That, too.
Yeah.
Do we need to take our passports?
Yeah, you do. Okay. Once you get to Naperville, you do have to clear customs.
So. Yep. Yeah.
And then next Monday and Tuesday, we'll be live in Iowa for the caucus eye. That's just one caucus. So it would be caucuses.
Caucuses.
And we plan on attending a rally or two. We plan on attending a couple of caucuses. And we'll do the show there Monday and Tuesday morning with all the appropriate guests. Roe will be there live Monday afternoon. And Monday night, the caucuses are on. There's an interesting little twist to this. And I've not checked the forecast today, but as of yesterday, there was threat of a significant snowstorm Monday night in Iowa, which would cut down on the number of people caucusing.
Well, it would cut down on the number of rallies that we're going to attend, too, right?
No, we'll go.
We'll walk.
We're hardy.
We'll walk.
You guys will be stranded there for another night.
Hey, who doesn't want to be stranded in Des Moines?
We don't mind. We love Des Moines. Des Moines might be the subject of tomorrow's caucus raucous.
Yeah.
Or raucous caucus, depending on
exactly
which
what you
one
said.
We go to.
So that's the wide world of plugs, kind of a mini version of all the plugs of everything going on here at 720 WGN. Keep those texts coming in. What would you like Governor Rauner to actually promise you personally, not the state, you personally, in today's State of the State Address? Mary, back to you for traffic trouble spots, and then we'll talk to Dean.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
Hello, buddy.
The Guinness Book of World Records just called me. You a few moments ago broken the record for plugging stuff.
That was a pretty good plug, Wheel of Plugs Roundup.
That was a good one. You're going to be in the next edition of the Guinness Book.
Well, it's exciting for me because I like to be in books. What?
It's only sorry that you don't have a comedy show coming up soon.
You know, we have a lot of those, as a matter of fact. It's funny you mention that, and I'm not going to plug them now so everybody can relax. But John Dacos and I were talking about the 2016 schedule, and the very funny 2016 tour has three or four stops we've pretty much locked in leading up to New Year's Eve.
Well, I know that I've got my New Year's Eve booked already.
And that's why you can't be with me? All right, so let's start with a sad story. But, man, what a run Jim Conway had.
Jim Conway was truly one of the most legendary broadcasters in Chicago history. He's did a lot of firsts, among them anchoring the very first locally produced half-hour newscast in America. You know, we think of the 10 o'clock news now as, you know, something that's been around forever, but Jim Conway was the first to do it. It was called the 10th Hour News that was here on WGN-TV in 1960. But he hosted variety shows. He hosted music shows. He hosted morning shows. He did the first local TV morning show first on WLS and then here at WGN. He was at Channel 2 and Channel 5. So much like you, couldn't hold down a job, apparently.
Seems like he was shifty. One of the things that struck me in the stories I saw yesterday was that at the age of 20, he announced to Chicago that Pearl Harbor had been attacked.
That's right. The start of his radio career on WBBM was the first to report the bulletins December 7th of 1941. Had the opportunity to meet him a couple of times at different events at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Very nice man, very, supportive of, young broadcasters, as I was when I met him many years ago. Very, very nice guy, native of Chicago, told RobertFeeder.com, his son told RobertFeeder.com that he died of natural causes at an assisted living facility in Buffalo Grove. 94 years old.
It's a good run, man.
It's a good run.
It's a very good run.
We remember him fondly.
There's a Michael Jackson movie coming out?
Being proposed. It's the...
Oh, so it's still in the talking stages.
Still in the talking stages.
So I was like, the person to play Michael Jackson, you'd have like a younger person playing Michael Jackson, young African-American star.
Right. Then you'd have, with all the talk of diversity in Hollywood right now,
and you'd
slam
have,
dunk that you'd think...
Yeah, and you'd have you'd have
probably
number.
Some, one of these young singers, who both can sing and dance.
There's any number of great possibilities. So who will they choose?
They actually did... make a quick choice apparently yesterday, and that's British actor Joseph Fiennes.
Hold on a second. Joseph Fiennes is a white guy.
Joseph Fiennes, not only a white guy, neither a singer nor a dancer. I mean, maybe he can do it, but certainly he's not professionally. So,
is Hollywood trying to send a message to my people? Is that what's going on here? Is that what's happening, Dean? Is this like, okay, we're going to have Michael Jackson? Sure, we know he was a little lighter than a lot of us, but he actually wasn't a white guy.
I'm going to say that's, that maybe it could just be an honest mistake. Maybe the casting directors only saw later pictures of him. Maybe they don't even know that he was an African-American man.
Oh, my.
Or that he looked like an African-American man, I guess. But the story is just as weird. I don't know if it's true or not. But the storyline is based on Michael Jackson, Elizabeth Taylor, and Marlon Brando, September 11th, 2001, deciding to drive to Los Angeles to get out of New York while the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center were taking place. So the film premise...
That never happened, right?
Not that I'm aware of. I've never heard this. I think it's supposed to be a farce. And maybe that might explain Joseph Fiennes' casting.
Well, if you're going farce, put a white British guy in a black guy's role, and you got farce, I'll tell you right now. At least you're on the way to farce. I love it. I don't know if you have a story like this today, Dean, but I love when you have stories of celebrities fighting over who's more generous. Those are great stories.
A lot of celebrities have stepped forward and made donations. Both of money and actual bottled water to Flint, Michigan. The latest yesterday was rapper The Game.
Uh-huh.
He's got family who lives in Flint, Michigan. He donated.
You know his original name was Yahtzee?
Didn't know that.
Yeah, he just went to The Game.
They decided to
general.
Go to a little more generic.
Yep.
Probably
it was
a
story.
Lawsuit or something.
That's a true story.
Can't be called sorry. I know your name is Yahtzee, but you're going to have to change it. It's already been taken. He donated $500,000.
That's pretty big.
To this cause yesterday.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
And he got a bottled water company to match his donation, so his donation wound up being $1 million.
And what did he do as far as picking on other celebrities?
So, he was commenting on Madonna's donation and Jimmy Fallon's donation, $10,000 apiece. And he goes, oh, that's cute.
Those
donations are cute.
Didn't that happen, Dean, with Katrina, too? You got all the celebrities making donations,
they're
and someone said, well,
more.
Sandra Bullock gave only $1 million, as opposed to Brad Pitt, who gave 20.
Look, here's the thing.
I don't think the celebrities themselves were saying that. Other people were saying, oh, look, this one can afford this and this one can afford that. This is just a celebrity who gave $500,000 calling out someone who only gave $10,000.
There's part of me that finds it really amusing. I mean, it's, but having said that, I also, I really believe this to be true. Just because you made it doesn't mean you have to give it away. Just because you have it doesn't mean you have to give it away. So I think it's great that that Madonna and
whatever it is,
Jimmy Fallon gave
even if it was $1,000, even if it was $100, even, you know, nobody has to make a donation to a charity of anything. You know, I know celebrities get a lot of guff, you know, for doing things other than acting. If they say something political, if they, you know, show up at a rally or, you know, people, they get a lot of guff for it. The celebrities are the first ones that step up and donate huge sums of money when there are disasters like this. So, yeah. you know, and any amount is very nice and cute.
I understand that Sean Penn right now is trying to get into the river to have an interview with the lead. He thinks the lead is actually a person. Is that right?
That's what I've heard, too.
Yeah, same thing. And finally, well, we note with sadness the fact that time has finally taken its toll on a man you thought died in the 60s, Abe Vigoda.
Yeah.
There was a rumor that Abe Vigoda died before Barney Miller.
This was People Magazine actually reported his death back in the 1980s. And that's why it's become a national joke and it's kind of a national punchline. Is Abe Vigoda still alive? What? But he was. He died yesterday. Natural causes, they say, 94, also 94 years old. Very interesting career. You know, he didn't even really get started in acting until he was in his 50s. He was a theater actor and got a couple of breaks, wound up on Barney Miller's show as the character Fish, and then was spun off onto his own show called Fish. We remember him as one of the great actors in the classic, the original Godfather movies.
Oh, absolutely.
Sal Tessio was, truly one of the greatest.
And do you know, Roe pointed this out yesterday. Do you know he was 50-whatever, but like in his early 50s when he did The Godfather?
Yeah.
He looked 80 then.
Right. He's always looked like he's 94.
And who am I to talk?
He was in that Snickers commercial a couple of years ago with Betty White, remember, where supposedly takes the tackle. And 2 years ago, here on the TV morning show, we talked to him because on the night before, he appeared at a concert for the group Fish. He appears on stage with them, dancing around in a bear costume.
And all the people at the Fish concert thought they were just blasted.
Yeah, you know, and we called him frequently. Unfortunately, somehow we got his home phone number, and we would call him up, and he was always pleasant.
Yeah, he's
and
funny, dude.
Always so nice. Super, super nice guy, very talented. So, you know, rest in peace, Abe Vigoda. We probably don't have time for that. Do we have time for that audio clip? It's like a minute long, so I don't know if you do or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, no, we'll play it later this half hour, but
it's really cute. We called him up, and he talked about that Fish concert. Talked about his memories of The Godfather and, you know, why he is more popular today than he ever was. If you guys get to it later on, that's great. If not, we've got it posted on WGNTV.com.
Yeah, and Conan did a nice tribute to him last night because they used to bring him on Conan
all
whenever
the
they had a guest that would bail. And one of the clips Conan showed that I forgot about was when Conan took Abe Vigoda to Central Park and set him free. Just released him into the wild. No, Abe, go. Go. Don't look back.
He's such a good guy.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
Bye.
That's Dean Richards from Channel 9 and the Steve Cochran Show, where it's 8:31, and we're back with a big story next. At 8:44, our friend Mark Doyle's here with a special guest. We'll get to that in just a second. And we'll check those text messages as well to see what you want in the State of the State address after 9 o'clock. I had an anniversary yesterday here. Do you know that?
Yours?
No.
I did know that, yes.
Rokan, 1 year on the air doing the afternoon show yesterday.
Wow. Sounding great.
Yeah, I mean,
good.
You remember, Rokan had a great run at WLS when that used to be a radio station.
He had a great run, yes.
And you remember that as it got to the end, things weren't so great. And then, you know, it's kind of like a VH1 behind the music sync. You have to go with Roe's dark years. I mean, you know, I'll be honest, and he's honest about this. He turned tricks for a while. You know, he was... He was a guy that had to do a lot to make money.
I don't think he turned tricks, though. That's probably an overstatement.
Magic tricks?
What do you think?
Yeah. That's what I was
magic.
Hearing. He was a magician.
Oh.
Roe Khan is a magician, though, is a very funny image to me. But anyway, Roe, we brought Roe here to do the afternoon show, and he's done great.
He has. Good sounds girl. Awesome.
A cake yesterday. A number of cakes.
Yeah,
I saw
cakes.
The video. Anna DeVlantis, of course, is the real brains behind that operation. And... you know, we saw the video of Roe's surprise first anniversary, you know, show up at the office kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally choreographed by Roe.
Was it really?
Completely choreographed.
Oh, I didn't
by
see
Roe.
It.
There were three rehearsals.
Yeah. Take one.
Yeah, and then he'd come and practice his surprise face. So,
is that why he didn't look so surprised?
After a while, it just becomes, it's hard to pull off.
Fake surprise.
Who was in that? Was that Billy Deck? Or somebody who looked
Mark
like Billy
Carman.
Deck?
Mark Carman wearing a Billy Deck hat.
Oh, that was Carman?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it looked like six or seven people were forced by management to show up to congratulate Roe.
Is that one of those memos you get, be in this office at this time or else?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much, yeah. But no, I love Evan Roe here, and he's done a great job, and happy anniversary to Roe. Anyway, he'll be on next hour so we can mock him some more. We're getting questions now, Ross, on where you can see Roe's sad video.
Roe's sad video.
Rokan's happy anniversary video.
It's on our website, WGNRadio.com.
It is a little sad.
They brought in Marta, the poor cleaning lady, who couldn't be sweeter to come in and celebrate. She goes, I'm just here for the trash, man.
And the cake, well, you have to see the video, but the cake is like kind of an oversized cupcake.
Yeah, well, it got out of the vending machine. Yeah.
Is that the thing that was hard as a rock in the newsroom this morning?
No, that was Grzanich. Every time I hear this, I think of Horrible Bosses. Is there a great scene in Horrible Bosses where they decide to kill their bosses? Now there was a time. How do you like me now? Back on the Steve Cochran Show, and my friend Mark Doyle's here, looking fabulous. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, Steve.
Rags of Honor is an organization that you started to help get vets off the street, because we should never have homeless vets. Not now, not ever. And you're now in year three?
Year three.
In a brand new location.
10,000 square feet, compliments of David's store to AAR.
Which is great. And a lot of exciting changes coming up. We'll talk more about Rags in a second. But a lot of people have helped you get there. There have been a lot of partners along the way, and you've met a lot of cool people through this endeavor. That's the thing about Rags, and Ross can speak to this too. But when you hear the mission, when you hear what you guys are trying to do, I mean, people may not know about it, but when they hear about it, they go, well, yeah, I'm in. I'll do whatever I can to help. And that was the case with your friend who you brought in today.
Yes, my dear friend Catalin from POW Chicago is not only my friend, she is also one of the most accomplished women I know, one of the most accomplished people in the physical fitness business in Chicago. And when I started, the first thing she said is, how do we help? And she exclusively buys all of her gear for POW Chicago from us. At Christmas time, she does a drive for veterans. She makes sure that our ladies and men who work for me have sweaters and jackets and hats and whatever they need. And in addition to being one of the most established and experienced martial artists and fitness professionals.
She could kill you with her bare hands.
She could, actually. Yeah. She's a black belt in karate, black belt in taekwondo.
You don't want to fight with her, but she could kill you with her bare hands.
The first woman to be a Krav Maga instructor in Chicago.
I don't even know what it means, and it sounds dangerous.
It's the Israeli fighting system. So she could kill us all.
She could kill us all and other nations.
At the break and just come back and finish the show.
You're the same as everybody in regards to hearing about Mark and hearing about Rags. You were all over it. But you mind talking about your business for a second?
Sure.
All right. So what is the Parisi Speed School?
So we're actually now the first Parisi Speed School in the city of Chicago. And there are about 85 locations in the United States and overseas. And it's a sports performance program focused on developing youth athletic skills. And it's a speed program that is a signature program, that their program is so well respected that it has been adopted by the NFL as the official active dynamic warm-up to prep their athletes. And they actually use elements of Parisi for running combines.
So speed and agility, different things?
They are. Speed and agility are different things. We have
linear speed. So you can be quick, but not necessarily fast.
You could be quick but not be able to stop or change directions.
Okay.
So linear speed, think about just running down a track, 500 meters, versus running down a football field, and at 10, you got to cut left, and then you make it five more yards, you got to, backpedal right. That's so a change of direction.
Full speed package. This is a way to change those directions, the way to make cuts, the way to do things, and the way it applies to a normal person, a regular person.
Absolutely.
Is overall physical fitness, care of your joints, being able to do those kind of things without blowing out your ACL.
And that's a really important part of what we do is there's so much thoughtful training and systematic training that we do with these kids that we're also there to set them up to avoid injuries in their athletic career. Their athletic career could be from 8 to 14, which is an important time for, you can't downplay that 6-year period.
That's a huge
asset for a child. But something that's interesting to know is that, so there's more kids in America right now participating in sports than any other country in the world. But they are the least fit and the most obese of any other youth population.
How do those two add up? We're just eating the wrong stuff?
There's a little bit of that and the fact that we're relying on their sport team practices to get them conditioned and prep their body.
Okay.
Now, one other thing that's back to the injuries is that there's more injuries and surgeries for youth in America than at any other any other point in American youth history.
Sure.
So what that's saying is that kids are going out and playing soccer, then they join a traveling team, but they're not working on their athletic skill sets, their foundation, which is what makes us move in a healthy manner without having to have ACL surgery or, you know, 12 sessions of tendonitis PT at age 10.
You know, it's funny too, is I was looking through a brochure and I get it because kids are so out of shape now, but when I see flexibility as a goal for kids, because you think kids are all Gumby bodies.
No.
But when kids get to be even a little bit older, and certainly when they start to approach puberty, a lot of that flexibility goes away quickly, right?
Absolutely. And part of it is flexibility is not really healthy if there's no strength component to it.
Right.
So if the joint doesn't have stability.
See, Dave, I told you. Dave does his Stretch Armstrong routine and tries to impress me. Dave, you got to lift, baby. You got to lift.
Is it too much, though? I mean, do you see a lot of parents saying, which is great, but trying to say, I'm going to have my kids play soccer and baseball and football and track and too many activities instead of maybe picking two and focusing on them with the
strength
and
core
conditioning?
Way.
Yeah.
I think that we can't rely any longer on schools and team coaches to be completely responsible for the physical education element of a child. We have kind of set physical education. Those are two very important words. Physical. Movement is important to our body, and as humans, we need to move on a daily basis to be healthy, to stimulate all sorts of things. Healthy hormone release, energy, stress. I mean, that applies to 7-year-olds too.
Sure.
And then there's education. The kids are missing out on that educational component that we all take for granted in this room, where we, you know, went to gym class and did frog leaps across the room. You know what frog leaps helps you do? Keeps you mobile and teaches you how to bend your knees and burst. You know, you can't skip out on that and then think you're going to walk into a class at 36 years old and start with frog jumps.
Sure.
And your body's not going
to
be hurt.
As a matter of fact, anybody listening to the show right now, stop your car and do a squat thrust. Go ahead. I dare you. The cool thing about this program is the Jumpstart 7 to 11-year-olds gets kids in the right mind frame to step up to the total performance part, which is a nice complement to whatever team activity you're doing or just great physical fitness. So for families that want to hear more about what you're doing, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
They can reach out to us in the West Loop directly at chicagoparisi.com, or they can look for us by finding POW Gym Chicago.
POW as in P-O-W?
P-O-W.
All right. Now, I know what a big supporter you are of REGS, and I know one of the things that Mark has wanted to do, and Mark, speak to this if you would, please, a performance line for athletes coming up. And Kat's going to help you do that.
She is. She's going to be our first early adopter of the Rags of Honor performance line. It's going to be all made in America dry fit. Unlike Under Armour, which has a great product and he's built a great company, none of it's made in America. We found a great guy up in Minneapolis, and we are going to launch a women's and men's line of performance wear, and Catalin's going to roll it out at POW.
And made in America.
All made in America. A brand new logo for us, our performance wear logo, printed by veterans, made in America. And you can find it at POW.
All right. So, again, the important thing to remember is to take care of your kid and encourage your kid to be physically fit and physically active. If your kid's serious about sports or you just want your kid to stay healthy, I think both of those work. ChicagoParisi.com, Chicago, P-A-R-I-S-I. Got a phone number you want to throw out as well?
Sure. 312-829-7600. 9-9.
And Ross Cochran does a lot of work with Rags as well. What are we focusing on with Rags today?
I would say two things. If you can donate directly to Rags by going on to our GoFundMe campaign, it's gofundme.com/ragsofhonor. And then also if you, you know, if you are a business owner, if you small, medium, or large business, and you have a way to come alongside Rags the way Pow Chicago has, the way the Blackhawks have.
If you have any shirts at all, if you ever use shirts for your softball team, for incentives, for clients, anything at all, if you've got a shirt need.
Yeah, basically the one people Rags can't help right now are nudist colonies. But beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about the fact that you're not working
with
nudist
colonies?
We'll be
launching a line next week. This is awesome news. Thank you.
All right, so how do we get all the rigs?
You can.
How do we order?
Yeah, you can go online to order from shop.ragsofhonor.us. You can contact me directly at Rags if you're an organization, ross@ragsofhonor.us, or Mark, the founder, mark@ragsofhonor.us.
All right, we're back after this, 720 WGN.
$1 billion is not enough, but it's a step in the right direction. We can do this on a bipartisan basis.
We should look our taxpayers in the eye and say, we want more of your money right now, a lot more, because they know our taxpayers are angry. The majority party in the General Assembly thought that just raising taxes to fund those services, they could do it. They haven't even moved a finger to go do that.
Poppycock.
Governor Rauner, because he is the one that's willing to speak out. Did we get a call back from Madigan's people about being on the show? You know, I have Kev called Mike Madigan's office every couple of hours, see if he's willing to come on. Because, you know, I want to work within his schedule. What's the update there, Kev? Doesn't sound promising.
Do you think he'll show up for the State of the State today?
If he doesn't show up for the State of the State, that is such a slap in the face, not just to the governor, but to the people of Illinois, let alone the fact that he didn't open the legislature on time a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. He'll show up. I don't think he's going to be commenting
afterwards. I hadn't even thought about that. That's not out of the question that he wouldn't show up.
No, I know.
Wow.
That'd be bizarre.
In the big, wide, wide world of speeches you don't want to have to give, I would say eulogies for a friend. This is the closest thing you can come to eulogy for a state if we don't get our act together.
That's very funny.
It's sad, right? And Governor Rauner has to give the State of the State address today. Now, let's be fair. Over the course of the last year, his administration has accomplished several things. They may not be huge headline-grabbing items because the pension mess, the schools mess, and the budget mess have taken up all the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
But again, until Mike Madigan sits down and negotiates and shows up for meetings to negotiate with the governor and literally negotiate.
Right.
What's a negotiation? Dave, if I'm negotiating with you and you want something and I want something, what do we have to do?
We have to each give.
Yes. You don't win and the other person loses. That's a game.
It's not all taking.
No,
what you're saying.
A game has a winner. A negotiation has a deal. That's the difference between those two things. We're looking for a deal. Now, Cullerton, I got to give President Cullerton credit. Cullerton last week proposed, late last week, and this didn't get enough play in the media, proposed a new school's funding option.
Right. The bankruptcy option.
His turnaround agenda.
Right.
So you don't have to like it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to like the plan, but you've got to talk. You can't just ignore it. You know what? They talk about State of the State. You know what the State of the State's been? Denial. The State of the State's been denial for, what, 20 years? Oh, the pension thing? Yeah, we'll take care of that.
You know what it reminds
me? We'll take care of it later.
You know what it reminds me of, too, in addition to a eulogy, which is very good. But you know how couples sometimes will say, where do you want to go eat? And they'll suggest 15 things, mainly, all right, I'll take one for our team. You guys will say, whatever, fast food, no. Chinese food, no. Italian food, no. But whatever you want. You can't just keep saying no, 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 no without coming up with something. Sorry, ladies.
It's true. If you don't like my idea, what's your idea? And we're not hearing any ideas other than Madigan just saying nothing that you want is going to happen. Here's what we know. This is the ultimate outcome. You are not going to eliminate the public service unions in the state of Illinois. You're not. And Rauner on this show many times on the record has said, I'm not trying to bust the unions. I'm trying to reform the way the unions do business with the state. Okay, I can live with that. I'm a union member. I can live with that. On the other side of the coin, with Madigan, you can't hold your breath till you turn bluer. You can't just say, look, my way or the – I've heard this – the governor accused of this. He's going from my way or the highway. No, not really. No, not when he's the one that's saying I'm willing to talk to people. So maybe that's what he'll touch on today in the speech. Because to be honest with you, I don't have a clue what he can say. But I've crafted, and we'll put this up online here in a few minutes, the speech I would give. Mm-hmm. The speech I would give for the State of the State today.
Was it the one you gave earlier?
Nah, it's a little more.
Oh, you've changed it.
Yeah, it's a little more policy driven.
It was good. Is it going to be more like a eulogy where you say, he was a great guy?
We gather here to remember the great state of Illinois.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't hope it doesn't come to that, right? I mean, you know, look, Detroit now is just pulling out of what's amounted to, what, a 20-year nightmare?
Mm-hmm. Bankrupting everything.
From one of the leading cities in the country, previously one of the leading cities in the world, to a city, literally, when you say Detroit to somebody, this is Detroit. When you say Detroit to somebody, you go, well, I got to go there. I got family. Or I got to go there. I've got, in Dave's case, I got a game I got to do.
Mm-hmm. Or meetings, conventions.
Go Cats.
Yeah, I got to go there. But the meetings and the conventions are almost all in the burbs
now.
And everybody, and that's the thing that everybody says about Detroit, too, because I live there for a bit. Everybody goes, oh, the burbs are beautiful. Well, how would you like to be in a situation here where you go, remember what Chicago used to be like?
Oh.
So you go, well, you got like Forest. You know, that's nice. You know, you got Naperville's nice. You go to Tinley. That's nice. Oh, you don't want to go to the city.
Right.
We're headed that way. We've got to break out of this denial we're in, and we've got to give a rat's patootie. Do you know where the rat's patootie is? Let me point on the rat's chart. That's where the rat's patootie
oh,
is.
That's where that is.
In other news, Donald Trump still, as of now, says he won't show up tomorrow night at the debate.
Because Megyn Kelly is moderating.
Because Megyn Kelly's moderating, and he's afraid of her. I believe he will show up, and I believe he can't stand to be out of the spotlight. And I believe he'll milk this for another 24 hours before he decides he's actually going to come.
You think he's going to show? I don't think he's going to show.
Will it send his hair?
No. Oh, maybe.
Dave had a great point earlier. Best analogy I think I've heard through the entire campaign. You think Trump is who?
I think he's our Kim Jong-un.
That's exactly right. Kim Jong-un, spoiled little brat, grew up privileged. Grew up getting whatever he wanted, and now is so thin-skinned, the minute you say something against him, he feeds you to dogs. Okay, not yet with Trump.
I was going to say, he hasn't killed anybody. Like. He hasn't killed anyone yet.
So
we should
think.
Be quick to point that out.
I don't know. Have you seen Atlantic City?
All right, now.
Could you imagine him with the new hairdo like that? Like what Kim's?
Kim Jong-un looks at Trump and goes, dude, do something with your hair.
Yeah, really. What if you had Coach Q's mustache and Trump's hair square off in a debate? I go with the mustache.
I go with Q's mustache times out of nine.
I would, too.
Yeah.
Because Trump's hair is unpredictable.
Yeah, and Q's mustache is consistent, tough, strong, and reliable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's 9:18. Once again, this discussion has been about
weird.
Kim Jong-un's hair and Coach Q's mustache and how they're both better than Trump. It's 9:18. We're back after this on 720 WGN. Nine 22 every Tuesday, Kevin puts up, I mentioned a new blog I was about to post, but Kevin puts up a new food blog. And by the way, Kevin, do you want to announce what you said yesterday, or you want to hold off on that?
The major breaking news
news.
We could do it now.
Well, first off, where do people see your food blog, what you eat? Because based on the fact that you've lost, 15 pounds this month or something, mm-hmm. I got to believe your food blog has quite a few less pictures on it.
Yeah, it's pretty lame. If you go to WGNradio.com/food diary,
what do you see? Just empty plates?
Well, because the food I'm eating is not even photo worthy. I mean, I had a salad yesterday for lunch. That's unheard of.
By the way, this is a lunch where it's Ross and Kevin and DeCoss and me. Four dudes.
Would you guys all get salads?
And Kevin, I had soup because I'm old.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin got salad. Ross was the only one that ate like a man. He had a burger.
He had a burger and fries.
Yeah.
Well
yeah.
done by Ross. But so that's not even – I'm not going to put a salad on my food blog. But what I've been doing
you
is –
You think it's an insult
yeah,
to your blog?
It is. But I got to do it. And I've taken some – I found some old photos from prior food blogs. And I post – some of the stuff I eat is worthy. So there is some fresh photos on there. But I do go back, and I've posted some of my favorite fast food meals that I've had in the past. Some of my faves.
It's like reminiscing, like pictures
right.
of old
girlfriends. Well, it's like Kevin's greatest hits.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like torture for you, though, isn't it?
It's torture, yeah. And this one, I have a steak, egg, and cheese bagel from McDonald's and a five-layer burrito in there. And then there's some other stuff that that I ate. But WGNRadio.com/food diary. Should I give the breaking news now?
I don't know that Mary and Andre are ready for this, but yesterday Kevin said, I've got some breaking news. And, well, I think this is a place where you're going to get your breaking news. So, Kevin, tell everybody what the breaking news is.
On New Year's Eve at Steve's New Year's Eve show, I announced that I will not eat fast food for the first 30 days of 2016.
And we said, where do the monkeys begin to fly out of my butt? But yet he's done it.
I've done it, and February 1st, when we're road tripping to Iowa, was supposed to be a feast of fast food. I was just going to go crazy. And I've decided to extend the New Year's resolution another 30 days.
What?
No fast food for all
what?
Of February. Now,
wait a minute. We need a new sounder.
I think you've got your big story for 9:30, oh, Andrea.
You know what? I was going to do an election roundup, Kevin. That's out the window. Can I do a quick interview with you right before we do the big story?
I'm not doing interviews at this time, Andrea, but maybe the road. So through the month of February, no fast food as well.
The good news,
look
Kevin.
Look at that.
There's only 29 days.
I know.
Isn't it 28? 2016's not a leap year?
Nope, it's 29.
So does that mean that you and I are going to have to partake in the loose meat sandwiches and the pizza in Iowa, all the delicious food?
Well, pizza's not fast food.
Kevin's point, didn't we determine fast food's definition is if there's a drive-through window?
Yeah, I guess
and it's wrapped up in plastic?
That was the general
I don't think it's even that wrapping. I think it's a drive-through window. If there's a drive-through window, it's fast food.
I think it has to be wrapped up, though, like
let
a hamburger
pizza.
Or a sub.
Pizza's good for you. Let him eat pizza.
Yeah, I'll eat pizza.
Come on.
Yeah, I can't survive without pizza.
Yeah.
So anyway, but we're proud of you, man.
That's awesome.
That
Kevin.
Is great, Kevin.
Yeah. Nice
look
going,
great.
Kevin.
Give
Thanks.
Mediocre applause
Thanks,
for that.
Guys. Thank you.
I'm more proud of his treadmill runs. He's done great. Like 5 miles or something.
Kev, I don't want to like dishearten you, but McDonald's is tweeting out, no, Kevin, no, please come back.
Hashtag, we're just getting it fixed.
Yeah. Stock is plummeting right now.
Yeah, sorry.
Hang in there. I'll be back in March.
For some reason, there's a lot of legal news today, and we talked about it with Karen Conti earlier, but here's a couple of stories we didn't get to. Tori Spelling wants to sue Benihana for getting burned at one of their restaurants. Spelling says she was at a Benihana in Encino. You guys like the Benihana thing? Sitting at a table with strangers?
Used to like it, not
yeah,
so much
I
now.
Yeah, I had that. Actually, hadn't gone in years to a place like that and went a couple of months ago, took the family. And
I don't like eating with strangers.
Well, there were no strangers. If you take enough family members.
I can't get that many people to go out to dinner.
Well,
with
that's
me.
True.
Yeah. But they did a really cool thing, which they've never done for anybody else, where the chef flipped a shrimp up on top of his hat.
Remember that?
Oh, they did it for you, too?
They used to do that at Benny Island.
Oh. Yeah. I thought that was just for me.
I thought you meant. Okay.
I thought it was just for me. Spelling says she was at the Benihana in Encino when she slipped and fell. And received second and third degree burns when she fell onto one of the hibachi grills.
Ow!
Would she slip on a shrimp tail?
Well, the way they're throwing shrimp around, who knows? I wasn't there. I'm not Benihana's lawyer, but I've been to Benihana's. I have no idea how you would fall onto a hot grill. That makes no sense at all.
No, none.
Because there's chairs that lead up to the buffer zone before the grill is going. Even if there's like nobody in a Benihana, because you walk into a Benihana and if there's not a lot of people in there, it looks like a casino where there's only four people playing at a blackjack table.
Right.
If she fell off her heels or she was loaded or whatever, how do you fall onto the grill? Does that make any sense?
No, it's a weird fall. You'd have to fall through the people and then onto the grill.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. And wouldn't you think that somebody, as Tori Spelling was falling, would go, oh, no, Tori Spelling's falling onto a hot grill. Someone catch her.
No, I think the opposite. They'd go, Tori Spelling's falling onto a hot grill.
What would be the difference in being in any other restaurant and falling into a table which has glasses on it, knives?
Good point.
Right?
Good point. I was at a Cold Stone. I fell into a vat of chocolate ice cream.
Did you? Were you okay?
Yeah, frostbite. Yeah, frostbite like you
and brain freezes.
Yeah. Item number two in the legal roundup here is the woman who I think you guys will remember sued her 12-year-old nephew. This is a woman in Manhattan who the 12-year-old went and jumped on her.
Yeah.
And she like wrenched her back or something.
To hug her, right?
Yeah, to hug her. The kid was thrilled to see his auntie, and he jumped on her to hug her, and she fell down. The hug hurt her back and broke her wrist. And Jennifer Connell, 54, who said the nephew jumped. This is the 2011 birthday party for the kid. So it's a birthday party. The kid's amped up. He's happy to see his aunt. He goes to run and jump on her. She falls down. She breaks her wrist. She now says, from the start, this is a case about one thing, getting medical bills paid for by homeowners insurance. Her lawyer says her client was never looking for money from her nephew or her family. But you remember the nephew and the mom, who would have been this woman's sister, were both in tears.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the relationship was over, and the kid didn't understand why he was in court.
Well, there's ways you can retain a lawyer to make sure that your medical bills are paid without having to sue the
other
party.
Through something related to this now.
Yeah, family member is, yeah.
Yeah. So she's a delight.
I thought she was already in stupid camp.
Yeah, we put her there.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
So she does not get probation.
Oh, no. She's stuck in stupid camp. As a matter of fact, we're giving her a second outfit in case she wore us through the first one. Remember, all the people in stupid camp wear a shirt with an arrow that points straight up that says, I'm with stupid. Yeah. And it's pointing at you.
Just give her a consecutive sentence, and then she'll have to serve that out.
Yeah. So there's your update on horrible people in the news. Unless it's Benihana's fault. So I don't know. It's 9:29. We're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
We have a tradition on the show of missing birthdays. We usually celebrate birthdays a week or two late. And yesterday, we've started a new tradition where we miss anniversaries. Yesterday, we missed the one-year anniversary of Ro Khan on the WGN radio airwaves. Congratulations and happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you, Steve. It was actually 2.5 months ago, but we're fine. We're totally good.
There is a video posted of the surprise welcome to the station for your anniversary, which may be the saddest video I've ever seen.
Oh, no. Why? It's a very funny thing. I was coming from meetings. Let's just call them meetings. I was coming from high-level meetings at Starbucks with my barista. Mm-hmm. When I walked in, and I had no idea that they were doing this, because I quite honestly thought that the anniversary was last week. I thought I had missed my own anniversary.
So he was all wrapped up in celebrating. Here's what it looked like to me, and I want you to go back and look at this.
All right.
I give this the full Zapruder film treatment.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like Stephanie. We love Stephanie. Stephanie, what is Stephanie's fancy title? Assistant Program Director? I don't even know what we call her. But Stephanie's doing a great job, and Stephanie looks like she rounded up as many humans as she can to jam into your office to pretend they were thrilled to see you.
Did
you notice that Marta, the cleaning woman, was in there just trying to clear the trash, and suddenly she, hey, congratulations, Rokan.
Oh, is that her name?
Congratulations.
Yeah. That's, by the way, that's the way it happens for my birthday. That's the way it happens around my house for just about anything. You know, family kind of things.
Your daughter loves you.
Was it weird when Stephanie said, act happy? Act happy.
Yes. Yeah, when Steph cracks a whip, everybody pays attention. But I just want to say publicly, you're killing it in afternoons. I mean, you got that load of Lantus you got to carry, but you're killing it in afternoons. You're doing a great job. The numbers are going up, 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 and I'm thrilled you're here.
Thank you. It has been really fun to be here. You told me, you and I had lunch.
Yeah.
Because you and I didn't really know each other personally.
It's funny. We had the standoff dude lunch.
Yeah.
After years of seeing each other at public appearances and competing against each other, where you just see the guy nod. Dave, you know the guy nod, where you see guys across the room and you go, yeah, hey, hey,
right.
You.
We did that for an entire lunch.
Did you guys put a table in between you?
No, like at the movie theater? We went to lunch and we realized, what a couple of dopes. It turns out, we're actually likable.
Right. And it was, but it was
just
a lot
ask
of,
us.
You guys decided that.
Exactly.
Who decided first?
Yo. So. What's up, yo? Anyway, so we were talking about, and you said to me, Because this is the problem. Can I just tell you the problem?
Yeah, tell me the problem.
The problem is that for years and years and years and years, I heard this about working at WGN. I grew up listening to it. I know it. I adore it. I get the idea of what it is. But then, you know, when you compete against it, as I did for a quarter century at the other place, it's like they go, oh, those guys, you know, they all say it's a people place. It's this, it's that. And it's and they think they're special and they're not there. And, you know, meanwhile, we're eating dog food at the other place.
Right.
And then and behaving badly. Let's just be honest. You know, the management behaving badly. And then you go, no, dude, you don't understand. This really is different. It's a very different thing. And the people that we work for, I mean, obviously there have been some changes at GN over the years that were not for the better. But then, the guys who, you know, Todd Manley's been there forever as the program director is amazing. Jimmy DeCastro is amazing. And the staff that, you know, came back, you know, that crawled back out of the caves of a tougher time there, it's just been amazing. You weren't lying for years, and you weren't lying to me when you said how amazing.
Well, but see, I didn't know. I didn't know when I was competing against this place forever, when Bob Collins was kicking my ass for, you know, the first 6 or 7 years I was in town. I was going, well, what are they doing over there? They didn't do anything special. Well, guess what? The whole place was special. And here's the difference. Consistently, day to day, delivering for the audience that listens to this station, which made them bring in other people, which just built upon itself. Consistently great every day. Yeah. I didn't get it till I got here.
I know. It's true. It's true. So it really is about the folks. And I'm going to say this. You know, you go into a radio station now in the modern era, at any of those big companies that own radio stations. And first of all, there's nobody when you walk in the door. There's one guy, and he's like one of those medieval torture guys, you know, with the leather mask on and the ball.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, your staff is waiting for you, and there's no staff, there's nobody, there's nothing, and you go in, and you just do what you have to do, and then you know the light bulbs are swinging off the walls and things like that, and at GN, it's like there's actual people, they have jobs, there's a great attitude, so it's been really easy, and it's been really a great place.
Well, I'm glad you're here, and I mentioned this earlier that you know, look, there's no doubt when I got fired outside the men's room here. I went through some tough times, you know, for a while. I turned to stripping again, and that's
how'd
not
that go for you?
Not a great moneymaker for me. Mm-hmm. And I know that for a period of time after you left what was left of WLS when they used to be a radio station, you know they're at Costco now? I don't know if you heard. They turned the whole joint into a bulk store. But I know you turned to you went back to turning tricks for a while, and I know that was kind of a dark phase for you.
I didn't mind it, I'll be honest. I felt cleaner doing that than what was going on in the latter days of LS. So it was okay. No, it's fine. And it's been great, and you've been great, and it's fun. I mean, you know, I like going to work every day.
Yeah, how about that?
And it shows, I think it honestly shows in what we're doing, and we're having a great time. And that what's her name? Johnny, what's her name?
Davila Tents.
Davila Tents is a lot of fun.
She's the best
to work with.
And, you know, and I've gotten over the fact that you stole her from the show, but Andrea's still bitter because the whole Greek family thing, she's going to send that mafia after you at some point.
Do you know what is so funny? The other day, we run into Andrea in the building, and they look at each other, and they just know each other's thoughts.
Yeah.
They're like twins, you know, where they're creepy like that.
It is kind of cool.
Has Anna done that stuff where she can make cheese, set it on fire just by looking at it? That thing's amazing. A Greek party trick.
Don't make fun of her. Don't do that.
Although it's really interesting, all of our news every day is wrapped in grape leaves. I don't know what that's about. She hands me the script. It's a grape. Eat.
Well, you guys will be in Iowa. We will be in Iowa because who doesn't want to spend February in Des Moines?
Right.
And I don't know if you saw the forecast, but it turns out the caucus night looks like it's going to be okay. Tuesday, 3 to 5 inches of blowing snow during the day as we're trying to get home.
That's going to be a lot of fun. what I've done is I've got the I have the equipment to turn my Apple Chevrolet Tahoe. Did I get the plug-in properly?
Nicely done by you.
Thank you. Into a broadcast facility.
Oh,
so on the way home, we may do the show from the truck. We may have to. So it'll be interesting.
There's an app now. I think you're talking about the same thing. There's an app now that you can download on your phone that you could do your show over on GN.
Oh, it's like voice tracking.
Got no, 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 live. You can literally live. It's like Periscope for radio. There's this app that the engineers are telling me about. You know, the engineers spend part of their time plotting the overthrow of America. The rest of their time is spent, looking online at naked girls. And then the rest of that time is spent with actually doing engineering stuff. And there's some app where you could do the entire show over your phone. Live on GN.
We might be doing that from the Quad Cities on Tuesday.
Why am I driving in from East St. Louis every day from the Double Wide? I don't know. I don't know.
Because you love it so.
That's exactly right. Happy anniversary, buddy. Sorry I missed
it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. See you in Des Moines.
See you in Des Moines. That's exactly
bye,
right.
Ro, congrats.
Bye. Thanks, Andrea. Bye.
There's a sentence I never thought I'd say. See you in Des Moines.
I know.
9:40. Now, still last check of the text when we come back. If you missed out on this, there's an opportunity here for you to tell us what we need to tell the governor. What do you want the governor to promise you in the State of the State address today? By the way, what time does that comedy begin?
Noon, and you can listen to it on WGNradio.com. We'll be streaming it.
And for Governor Rauner's people who listen a lot, if you're listening now, for the governor or the first lady, if you're listening, I feel for you, man. I don't know how you make that speech. Good luck. And I mean, I'm sincere when I say that. Good luck. It's 9:50. Bill and Wendy at 10 on 720 WGN. Let's do it again. Tomorrow on this program, as we get closer to our big field trip to Des Moines.
Yes.
You'll have another caucus raucous tomorrow. Kev, anything else we should promote on tomorrow's show?
We've got something very exciting at 8:40 tomorrow.
That you can't talk about yet?
Mm-mm.
Do I know about it and I've forgotten about it?
You know what I'm talking about? That one thing with the important guy from that one thing.
The guy from the place?
From the place and the west side.
You know, the thing is, when you tell me stuff, how many, and I'm being serious now, how many times do you think you have to tell me stuff before it actually gets embedded in my memory? I know it depends on the thing.
Right.
But in general, it's at least 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, if you count emails, probably 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
But Ross, you know what I'm talking about.
Right. I really have no idea what you're talking about. I have no recollection at all.
He was trying to do the thing that Anna and I do in the hallways. We just kind of know what
you're
thinking.
Yeah, I thought we had something special, Steve. Yeah. But
I think what you're talking about is going to happen, but I'm not positive yet.
Gotcha.
All right, unless you confirmed it.
It's pretty much confirmed.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
All right.
Something really, really cool at 8:40 tomorrow.
Yes.
I promise you'll
want to
hear it. Yes.
It's good news tomorrow at 8:40.
Can you give us a topic?
I'll tell you
subject,
later.
Maybe?
I know what it is.
Okay, good. Thanks. Yeah. Sorry, everybody else out there
Listen,
who doesn't know.
The only people not entitled to know stuff is the audience. I think we're clear on that. So that's tomorrow's show. A few more texts today. No, you should listen all the whole show, not just at 8:40. But if you only hear one thing tomorrow, hear the thing that we're not plugging that's going to happen at 8:40. From the 563, I want the governor to promise me bacon. Nothing but bacon.
Kevin texted it.
Get behind that.
Things that you want in the State of the State address. 773, I don't care what they talk about. They're interrupting days of our lives, and it's more important than what these idiots have to say. Now, if we had a budget, they might have my attention. Nope. Watching days of our lives. 708. Until further notice, I'd like all the elected officials to wear the same uniform as Ronald McDonald. How about Bozo?
The big shoes?
Dress him up like Bozo. From the 815, I want Rauner to promise me that he'll beat the crap out of Madigan in a cage match.
Oh.
There's a lot of these. These are themed, but there's a lot of these that came in. 312, I'd like him to promise a budget and to explain his wife's salary. They mean his wife's chief of staff
salary? The chief of staff salary, yeah. $100,000.
From the 708, I'd like to ask the governor the question, are you going to prosecute Michael Madigan? And from the 630, I'd like the governor to say Lisa Madigan is indicting her own father.
Oh, I think a lot of people.
There's some people that can get behind
that
as
yeah.
well. And Speaker Madigan, you are always welcome here, though we are now in day 574 of Speaker Madigan apparently boycotting the show. We're back after this on 720 WGN. Do we have the Abe Vigoda audio that Dean left earlier? Because I forgot we didn't play it.
Yeah, we do. Let me cue it up.
Abe Vigoda was, you know, a fixture in all of our lives because he lived to be 94 years old. Tessio, Fish on Barney Miller, and then a regular on late night talk shows. He died yesterday at 94. As I said, a regular on the morning show at WGN as well, as Dean talked about earlier. Here's a clip.
It was just wonderful. I was told there was 38,000 people in this auditorium. Unbelievable. And so I had a very lovely time. Mm-hmm. My age yet.
What do you remember best, fond memories, Abe, from The Godfather?
Well, because as an actor, I found it was happening. The dialogue, the people, the story, it was unbelievable. Unbelievably happening. It was true. It was, I was never acting. No, I did not need to act. It was that kind of thing. And I believe that's why it was a success.
More on the Channel 9 website. By the way, I don't know if Abe Vigoda knows when he says he wasn't acting. He was killed in The Godfather, so I certainly hope there was some acting involved. Otherwise, it'd be hard to explain him dying yesterday and not in 1971.
Did you call attention to the fact that he had a slight British accent there for some reason?
Did he learn that from Madonna?
I think he might have.
There was kind of an affectation there that I didn't
slight. Absolutely,
very
Steve.
Subtle.
I wasn't acting.
Sure didn't hear that on Fish.
It was happening. Roe brought this point up yesterday. He was, when he did Barney Miller, he was 60?
I think he was younger than that.
He was younger. He was like our age.
Yeah. He was mid-50s in the Barney Miller.
Every time I take a picture and I get upset about the fact that I look old, I just need to have a picture of Abe Vigoda's head next to me.
But he looked the same for 40
years.
For
his entire life.
That's the beauty of looking like Abe Vigoda.
So that would mean when he did Tessio in The Godfather, he was in his early 40s?
I would guess 49 or 50 when he played Tessio, right around 49 or 50.
Is that why his show was called Fish and his character, because he was sleeping with the fishes?
Yes.
That could be.
Yes.
I could see the writers doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
By the way, since Barney Miller's obviously the topic of the hour, you know who I saw on TV last night?
Who's this?
Max Gale.
He shows up on stuff from time to time.
Max Gale. Wojo.
The big guy, yeah.
Wojo. Yeah.
Not as much hair today and a little heavier, but
easy.
Still Max Gale.
I saw Charlie
Wojcicki. Handsomer than ever.
Also, you saw who?
Handsome.
Charlie Wojcicki.
Also,
the other
one. He speaks like he's at a golf tournament.
Right.
It's very quiet.
We love
to keep it down.
He's great.
What are you guys doing today?
We're talking
people named Wojo.
Yeah.
Everybody
trying to fill 4 hours.
The Wojo convention.
Aren't
is in
we going to be simulcast on Wojo too?
Yes. Yes.
I understand are. Trump is committed to skipping your show today.
Doesn't get along with us. Doesn't like our questions.
He's intimidated by Wendy.
He should be.
Bill and Wendy, right now. We'll see you tomorrow.